Well, good morning. Thank you, brothers, for sharing here this morning. I can say as well, I see Malachi in a completely different way than I did before. I always went to Malachi on these two occasions here. One was I went to Malachi and often read this verses here in chapter 3, where it says, "When they feared the Lord, spake off one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." And that's a blessing. And James shared on that. The brothers in Christ, that's why we get together and we gather, continue to talk and to lift up and exalt Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he hears. It says, then it says, "He heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for they that feared the Lord and thought upon his name." So let's not stop there. Then another one I went to, often read in Malachi, is talked about Elijah. Talked about John the Baptist, I believe, that's going to be appearing, where it says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers." And them are always blessed verses there in Malachi. But as Dale shared there that week on that, it just opened up a new understanding there for me on that way. So yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, maybe we will stand and have a word of prayer, and I'll share. Eternal Father, as we do bow here at this time, Father, we do just lift you up this morning. Thank you, Lord, as we sing praises this morning through your songs. Lord, you are worthy. You are the one. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're the one that took the stony heart and gave us a fleshly one. You're the one that delivered us from the pits of hell as you stood in our gap. So we just want to take a moment, Lord, just to thank you and to worship you this morning because you are worthy. So, Father, this morning we pray you have your way. As I share, I have a few thoughts to share, Lord, that you would just be glorified, that you'd be lifted up, and you'd be praised. We commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the thoughts that I have to share this morning are not going to be anything new. Nothing that you haven't heard about. But as I have a few things to share, just encouragement again. Just a few things that to inspire. Maybe a reality check. Maybe just to see where we're at in our hearts. I'm going to be sharing there in Matthew 13. There on a few verses 4 through 9 and 18 through 22. On the four conditions of the soil there, what I'm going to talk about here. Maybe I'll just draw on the board. I wasn't planning on, but I think I got time now. On the four hearts. The first one is, he talks about on the wayside. The wayside heart. And the wayside heart is a hard heart. It's hard soil. And the next one is the stony heart, or stony ground. Stony ground. And that is, as I wrote on that one, that's the shallow. I'm going to be referring to that one there on the shallow heart. Then the third one, it's a thorny ground. I wrote that one on there, it's the distracted a distracted heart. Then on the last one, talks about the good ground. Yeah, the good ground. And that one there, I'm referring to a good and an honest heart. As I go through, I'll let you decide what heart is yours. What heart condition fits you today? And we know that unless it's in the good ground, good ground is where we know that if you put a soil or you put seeds in the good ground, it sprouts and it's fruitful. It multiplies and it's a blessing. We can reap from that. A thorny ground, as I wrote that, distracted. A thorny ground is a soil that'll grow. Seeds will start growing. It'll start sprouting. Then the thorns come up, and it chokes out the seed. It distracts it. And all of a sudden, we know as a thistle, the thorny as a thistle seeds, that as they go down, they go deep, and they weed out the fruit. The seeds. It kills the seeds and they die. Then stony ground is it's a shallow heart. As we know, as stones, if you plant something in a stony area out here, you dig down, put a little seed in there, and that little thing will sprout. But it won't take long at all. It'll come up and the heat will shine up on it, and the thing will die. That little seed will die. A shallow heart. Then a hard heart. Maybe there's some in here where the hard heart is. We know that you take something, you chunk up a piece of concrete and put a seed in there. It's not going to grow. Or you take a hard ground, which I had that at my house. I had a hard ground. And you put a little seed in there and it'll come up. But it'll die instantly. There's nothing underneath to feed it. There's no water, no moisture, anything to preserve it. So I'm just going to go through here and share a few things with these hearts. Like I said, there's nothing new, and I just want to share and just to inspire us that if we have a heart in here this morning that's not here, we're not going to make it. We will not enter into the kingdom of heaven as I go through here. It's a good heart. It's a heart that's been surrendered. It's a heart that's been total given up into the Lord Jesus, that He can take us, He can shape us, He can mold us, He can do whatever He wants to us. It's a good and an honest heart. If we're not here, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss the kingdom. And let's not allow the world to distract us from the kingdom of God. So let's read here on Matthew 13, starting on verse 4. Then I'll finish my text on 18 on through. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell into stony places where they had not much earth, and forth when they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and they choked them out. And others fell into the good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then verse 18 through 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one, and he catcheth the way which was sown in the heart, and he which receiveth seed by the wayside. And he that receiveth the seed by the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and upon with a great, and it says that immediately with joy that receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but during for a while the tribulations or persecutions ariseth because of the word, by he is offended. And also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's the thorny. The deceitfulness of the riches choke out the word. Then the last one, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and he understandeth it, and also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And I trust that's where majority of our hearts are at this morning, bearing fruit. So the first one, the wayside, it's a hard heart. And I'm just going to use some of my past to illustrate just some of this. I'm going to use one little story here on a hard heart, how that works, what it looks like. And as we go through here, I'm just going to share what it sort of looks like. I'm going to get a little more practical, maybe on the thorny heart and the good ground. The first two I'll touch a little bit here as we go through. But I remember I remember the dates, 1995. And 1997 was 2 years I remember. In 95, I had a man putting on spouting at my house, gutters, and this was before I was born again. And he shared the gospel with me. First of all, he was listening to gospel music. I don't remember what it was, but I thought, interesting, because I never heard that kind of music. Then as I was there that day, he came up to me and he started sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, I felt so uncomfortable. I just thought, you know, it was like, but yeah, I knew that what he was sharing is what I probably needed in my life. And he was a sincere young man, which I never saw him since. I don't know how I got him there to put my gutters on, how that came past, other than it was God's way to get him there to share. Then also a letter in the mail came in 97 that shared on the gospel, the times that are going to come, what we're going to face, the persecution and all that stuff. And I remember again in 97 coming under great conviction for a short time. And I just couldn't get it out of my mind, but I hated it. I needed to do something with it because it was doing something where I didn't know what to do. So both times, As a seed came, my heart was hard, and I pushed them out both times. That's a hard heart. It's a heart that will not allow the gospel to penetrate or even grab or sprout. That's the wayside. That's the wayside heart. And my encouragement on that one is if there's any in here, there's possibility there's some in here that when the gospel is shared, they push it aside. When someone sits down and talks to them about Jesus, they push it this way, then that way. Don't do that. It's a wayward heart. It's a wayside heart that it's gonna end up in hell. It's a bad place if you're there. If you're in here at the age of accountability and rejecting the calling of God in your life, that's called a hard heart. And I know that if I would have died in that state back then in 97 and 90 and 95, I know where I would be at today without question. I had a hard heart. And we can, just one illustration there on that in Exodus there. We see that the hardness of the heart of Pharaoh there. As God brought many, many things to him. I'm just going to, I'll read a little bit on that. Exodus, I didn't write down that passage. Yeah, it's Exodus 7, Moses before Pharaoh. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of the land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He said, you will harden Pharaoh's heart and to multiply my signs, my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hear, shall not hearken unto you. Pharaoh is the one that had a hard heart. God even knew that he would not open up his heart to anything other than his kingdom, his reign. And I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and the great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel out among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. And we see here, as all the plagues that they went through here, they turn, he turned his rod into a serpent, and the plague of blood, the plague of the frogs. And he's doing all this. And Pharaoh is witnessing this. He's seeing all this here. The plague of lice, the plague of flies, the plague of all the cattle died, all the boils that came upon the men, and the hail, and the locusts. And don't you wondering what Pharaoh is thinking? Then the darkness. It was so dark that they said they couldn't even see their hands. Then the last one where God, I think it seemed like he got a hold of his heart for just a little bit. Maybe I look at this, I could be wrong. It seemed like maybe a little seed was planted here when it talked about the death of the firstborns threatened. Then this says the death of the firstborn happened. In verse 29 in Exodus 12, and it says, it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn to the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now listen to this. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord, and as he has said, serve the Lord. Then he says, and take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone. Then he says, and bless me also. And I found that interesting. He said, and bless me also. And we see that what that happened, and all they went out, but we seen a short time later, after all that. But as we see, the wicked one came and he catches the way. He changed his mind soon after that, and he went. He hardened his heart again. It was a hardened heart. He just hardened it, and we seen as he chased them through the desert into the Red Sea, and he died. The hard heart. There are seven things that identify with a hard heart. It's a lack of ability to perceive or remember or grasp events or ideas coming from God. I'll say it again. A lack of ability to perceive or remember or grasp events of ideas coming from God. It's just when you come, maybe you come in here and you hear a message that's good and that's convicted your heart, and you walk out the doors and you forget everything that was said. Insensitivity to sin, or sinfulness, failure to follow God's commands, the way of Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit, arrogance or pride. One, if you're easily offended, resentful, ability to forgive, indifference to the Word of God, unbelief, drawing away from God. And I just wrote, if you're here today with a hard heart, there are many brothers here to help you. They can help you, and you're not without hope. You can have your heart change, as it says there in Ezekiel, as he took that stony heart from us and he gave us the fleshly one. Praise the Lord. So point number two, the stony heart, the shallow heart. It's where you plant seeds and it'll sprout up. Then there'll come the heat and it dies. Persecution or trials, whatever it may be. It's one that hears the word of God and he immediately embraces it and receives it with joy. But when tribulations or persecution that cometh, he gives up. We know anyone like that. For example, on the martyr's mirror there, on Mark's Bushart, I think of him. He was one of the first books I read was Fire and Zero Kills. And I remember, as a Christian, wondering, how is that possible? He was one of those that began as a Christian life vibrantly. He received the word, and he walked with him. He received a believer's baptism. He got ordained. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over. But it seems like when he got into the battle, when the battle got tough, it says, Mark's, he recanted at his faith. He turned away. And I don't, it says there that, don't know what happened to him in the end of the life. It doesn't really share what happened. As he walked away. And I just ponder on that. We can't be here. We can't have this stony ground. We got to make sure we cultivate it where it goes deeper than just that much. When you plant corn out here in this driveway, it'll sprout. It'll grow, but sun will come up and it'll kill it. We need to have a stony, a heart that's deeper than a stony ground. And how is that possible? As we heard, share. Let's be with the brother. Let's encourage each other. Speak of the word often. Stay in tune with God. Stay in tune with His word. What He wants for us. What is His will for our life? I just thought how sad for just for life on this earth. And we know, and when I share that on Mark's Burchard, on him there, Burchard, and I know what the devil did in his way. He was in prison, and his wife had a baby, and they brought him to the prison and showed him day after day, and I know it's hard. But even with that, we can't. I mean, what else is there? We can, yeah, Mark, he surrendered his life from the prison. He surrendered his life on earth to live, just to die for eternity. It's temporal. This life is temporal. It's vapor. It vanishes away. May God help us with a vision until the end, when Jesus comes and takes us all home, the heavenly home. I shared that in Ezekiel already, as he took that stony heart, and he gives us a fleshly one, the one where he took it from us, where he could plant seeds of hope, plant seeds of life in us, that we have a purpose in life, that we can continue on walking this life and be joyful and be influential to others around us. And it seems like many are giving up and turning toward the world in later times. I came across a poem the other day. If you allow me to read it, I wasn't going to do it, and I didn't write it down. I didn't copy it off, so I got it here on my phone. I want to read this. It's sort of a lengthy poem. As I wrote, it seems like many are giving up, turning toward the world at the later time. Satan, he is a deceiver, and he is deceiving many. Many of you probably read this. It's a church walking with the world. So if you allow me, it's taking me a few minutes here to read, but just I like to read this. The church and the world walked far apart. On the changing shores of time, the world was singing a giddy song and the church a hymn of sublime. Come, give me your hand, said the merry world, and walk with me this way. But the faithful church hid her gentle hands and solemnly answered, nay. I will not give you my hand at all, and I will not walk with you. Your way is the way that leads to death. Your words are all untrue. Nay, walk with me but a little space, says the world with a kindly air. The road I walk is a pleasant road, and the sun shines always there. Your path is thorny and rough and rude, but mine is broad and plain. My way is paved with flowers and dews, and yours with tears and pain. It seems like that sometime, right? It says, the sky above, your path is thorny and rough and rude, but mine is broad and plain. Your ways is paved with flowers and dews. My way is paved with flowers and dews, but your way is with tears and pain. There is a lot of tears and pain, but that's just temporal. But there's much joy. Then it says, the sky above me is always blue. No want, no toil, I know. The sky above you is always dark. Your lot is a lot like wool. My path, you see, is broad, fair one. And my gate is high and wide. There's room enough for you and me to travel side by side. Half shyly, the Christian approached the world and gave him her hand of snow. And the old world quick graspedly and took and walked along, saying, in a sense, lo, your dress is too simple to please my taste. I will give you pearls to wear, rich velvets and silk for your graceful form, and your diamonds to deck your hair. The church looked down at her plain white robes, then at the dazzling world, and blushed as she saw his handsome lip with a smile contemptuous curled. I will change my dress for a costlier one, said the church with a smile of grace. Then her pure white garments drifted away, and the world gave in their place. Beautiful satins of shining silk, roses of gems and costly pearls, while over her forehead her bright hair fell, crisp in thousands curls. Your house is too plain, says the proud old world. I'll build you one like mine, with walls of marbles and towers of gold and furniture ever so fine. So he built her a costly and beautiful house, most splendid it was to behold. Her sons and her beautiful daughters dwelt there, gleaming in purple and gold. Rich fairs and shows in the halls were built, and the world and the children were there. Laughter and music and feast were heard in the place that was meant for prayer. There were cushioned seats for the rich and the gay to sit on their pomp and pride, while the poor folk and who were clad in shabby array sat meekly down outside. The angel of mercy flew over the church and whispered, I know thy sin. Then the church looked back with a sigh and longed to gather her children in. But some were off at midnight ball. Some were off at play. Some were drinking at gay saloons and quietly went her way. Then the sly world gantly said to her, your children mean no harm, merely indulging in innocent sports. So she leaned on her prophet arm and smiled and chatted and gathering flowers as she walked along with the world, while millions and millions of sorrowing souls to eternal death were hurled. Your preachers are too old plain, says the world to the church with a sneer. They frighten my children with dreadful tales, which I like not for them to hear. They talk of brimstone and fire and pain, the night of an endless death. They talk of a place which may be mentioned with bated breath. I will send you some better stamp, brilliant and gay and fast, who will tell them that people may live as they choose and go to heaven at last. The Father is merciful, great and good, tender and true and kind. Do you think he would take one child to heaven and leave the others behind? So he filled the house with gay divines, gifted and greatly and learned. And the plain old man that preached the cross were out of her pulpit's turn. You give too much to the poor, said the world, far more than you ought to give. If the poor are in need of shelter and food, why need it trouble you? Go take your money and buy rich robes and buy horses and carriage fine. Buy pearls and jewels and dainty food, by the rest the costly mine. I'm just going to read the last few verses here. I'll skip a few. But it says, the sly world heard her and laughed up her sleeve and mockingly set aside. The church is falling, that beautiful church, and her shame is a boast of pride. The angel drew near to the mercy seat and whispered inside her name. And the saints, their anthems of rapture hushed and covered their heads in shame. Then a voice came down from the hush of heaven, from him who sat on the throne, I know thy works, and how they said, I am rich and not known. Thou art naked, poor and blind, and wretched before my face. Therefore, my presence cast I thee out, and I blot thy name from its place. I know it's a long one there, but that is what many are given over to, and Satan is destroying many. So God help us that we would not be on the shallow heart, but we would be on a ground. We'd be on a ground that goes deep. Maybe rooted deep in the love of Jesus. As we know, Alexander and Hymenaeus as well were two that Paul had to excommunicate from the church there in Timothy. They begin their walk with Jesus, and they allowed earthly things to separate them from God. May that not be us. Point number three, thorns. A thorny ground is a distracted heart. A little more practical here, maybe. It's a heart that don't mix the word with faith and are not very productive in their Christian lives. The word of God becomes crowded out in these situations, the thorns. It represents the love of the world over Jesus. As you know, thorns that take root and go down, it crowds out the fruit. It crowds out the things that are fruitful. When I think of a thorny or a distracted heart, I think of King Solomon. I'll read that. It's David's son there. And we know that Solomon was a man that God loved, God cherished, God put him in position at the point there God even told him, whatever you desire, I'll give to you. I'll give to you. And Solomon said, yes, give me wisdom. And God says, since you asked for wisdom and not riches, he said, I'll give you both. And we see over the times that God, that Solomon was a godly, fearing man. But as time went on, we see Solomon's heart begin to be distracted. As he, God blessed him with, as he gained in popularity, fame, and wealth, and wisdom, much wisdom. But as we see that Solomon began, seemed like the thorns began to push, distract Solomon, as he began to marrying wives, and he married wives where he should not marry. And he married, he actually ended up with 700 wives and 300 concubines, and I still don't understand all how that's possible. And ended up in his life, Solomon's in time. And I know some, maybe some might differ me on this, but that, first of all, Solomon ended up worshiping other gods. Think about that. The God of the universe, who God sent Solomon in place and to bless him with wisdom and all those things, ended up in his life that Solomon worshiped other gods with his wives. And I don't know. I don't see. I know some say that he wrote Ecclesiastes, but I don't know if I see that he ever repented of his pagan worship, the altars that he built. The Mark 12, especially when God commands us to love him with all of his heart, soul, and mind. And it seemed like thorny ground pushed out the love of God in Solomon's heart. In verse in Mark there, it says, and Jesus answered, and he says, and hear the commandment. This is Jesus. He said, O hear, Israel, the Lord our God is our Lord. And thou shalt love our Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment than these. But we would say, no, we would not put up any altars and worship any other pagan gods. But in our lives, I think we find ourselves too close to there at times. What are some things that we are distracted with? And if we are, it's a thorny ground. The thistles just need to be removed. They need to be dug out. They need to be so we can prosper. We can continue on. In John, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we need to dig out those thorns if we have some thorns in our heart, in our ground, our soil. Dig them out so we can see clearly. We can walk closer with him. We can be by his side. It seems like we don't see correctly if we allow things to distract us or let our heart become as a stony ground. What are some things? Neglect, maybe this could can be some things. We neglect reading the word of Jesus. Getting too involved with our work affairs, neglecting lost souls around us. We become easily offended. We get easily disgruntled or angry or a respecter of persons. Maybe we have a condemning spirit, a know-it-all attitude, or better thou than attitude. And before I go any further, I want to share something there that I had to pull out of. I had to pull out a thorn. Seems like over the past year, there's something that I got maybe offended at. And I know that from the Word of God that if you offend someone, or if you're offended, or if you're, any bitterness in your heart, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I know that, so I repented of that, and I had a pure heart toward them. But yeah, it seemed like there was something in my life that kept hindering me to see clearly. And it was as we were in Bible or men's seminar down there at Bern, and Paul spoke on, you know, that bitterness and unforgiveness, and some of that stuff. And I thought, well, I don't have any forgiveness. I forgive him. But yet there was something in my life that I didn't give up. Because every time it would come up, it would flare. So as I said, as I was down there, I opened up my heart to the brotherhood, and I dealt with it. I repented of that. It probably was a lack of bitterness. It was a little bitterness in my heart. And it was hindering me to go walk on with joy, where God would have me to rejoice. As it says there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I was, at certain times, I was down, maybe just in despair. But I dealt with it. And that's why I pulled out that thorn, so I can continue to grow with Jesus. And I see I'm gonna have to skip a few things here. So, but anyway, so let's not let any distraction in our lives, the thorny ground. Let's not allow anything around us that push us out or push our love for Jesus. Because Jesus will not share his love. He will not share the things of him with the things of the world, the wayside and the stony ground. He can't do it. Because he's a holy, just God. Now, point number four, a good and honest heart. Good ground. And what does that look like? Now, I'm just going to read some verses here on some of this. I won't be able to go across all this, but What does that look like? A good, honest heart is a heart that's been born again. It's allow the seeds of Jesus, allow the seeds of the Word of God to penetrate and to shape us and mold us and to make us more like Him. That's good ground. And what does that look like? Now I'm not gonna share a whole lot other than just read a few verses, some verses on that. The first one is 1 Peter there. I think I might have wrote that down. Wrong one there. But it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason, the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. That is the heart of a soft, fertile ground. It's a ground that's been plowed. It's a ground that's been given, ready to be sown in. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in the times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, beseech you as strangers and pilgrims in the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So, but we, as we see here, we are a chosen generation, peculiar people. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants as a servant of God. Then it says, honor all men. Peter's encouraging the church there to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's a totally surrendered heart in the commandments of God. It's good ground. And as Jesus shared there in Matthew there in the Beatitudes, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that should mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And there's no hunger and thirsting after righteousness if we have a stony heart. If we have a thorny heart or a hard heart, we can't. But blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you for all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Here Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In Colossians, a few verses here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. We see the soft heart, that pliable heart. With a stony or thorny heart, we can't forbear one another. We can't forgive one another. So as a heart that's been changed by God, that's the only way. Forgiving, it says, if you any has a quarrel against any, as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you're called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do it heartily. Whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God and the Father by him. Then it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So it's good ground, provides much fruit, just like the garden I had at home. When I moved there, I had a garden. We planted a garden and it didn't grow. We tried a couple of years and we stopped and we just gave up. And someone said, well, you need to bring in good ground. You need to prepare the soil for the planting season. So we got in a lot of topsoil and some 3-peat, a lot of different grounds, and we mixed it in for many years. And today we're reaping a beautiful garden that produces much fruit. And today, that's where our soil needs to be. That's where our heart needs to be. If we want to produce fruitfulness, if we want to be a testimony for those around us, we need to have a heart that's producing that love. They need to be able to look at us and see that we are walking with Jesus. And if we allow the Spirit of Jesus to reign within us in all things, we will be a loving, peaceful man, a good and an honest heart. Okay, now I'll just read one more passage here, and I'll bring it to a close. But you see, my heart is where we need to be in the good ground. There needs to be an honest, clean, a heart that's been changed, a heart that's been a stone been taken out of, and given a fleshly one. I'll read one more passage here, then I'm gonna bring it to a close. In Philippians 2, I think that's where I'll close on. Yeah, here it is. Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort and love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind. Let nothing be through strife or vainglory. Look at that high calling. Not letting anything be through strife or envy in our hearts toward one another. If we have envy, if we have a little touch of bitterness, like I maybe that was in my heart and didn't realize that what it was, it doesn't produce. It doesn't grow. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. And that's the kingdom of God. It's not about us in here. It's not about me. It's about others. It's about helping others find victory. And then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a high calling. What for mind did Christ have? Think about that. Are we there? Who being form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of man. That's Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above any other name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and the things in heaven, and the things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh you in both will to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be found blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights into this world. So I'm going to close with that. It seemed like there might have been some dots not connected here, but I'll just leave some of this out. But think about that, that you may be found blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, that we may be shining lights. We see around us, there's a hurting nation, there's a hurting community, there's a hurting city here in Fort Wayne. As someone said, shared here, that sometimes our walk speaks louder than words. And it does, a walk. Yes, I'm an advocate that we need to share the gospel, but our walk testifies, it speaks. May it shine as lights into this dark world. So, one more thing here I want to just share. Talking to many people over the world, over the years here about these worldly things, And many say to me over the last 20 years that they said, oh, we know Christians that go to church, that that claim Jesus, that they're no different than I am. I meet them at bars. I meet them at big sports arenas. Wherever we go, they drink, they smoke, they lie, they cuss. And he says, if that's the Christianity, it's no different than I am. There's no need for me to even bother. Let's not let that be our testimony. Now, I trust it or not. I see a group of godly men in here. But we're not exempt from 30 years from now from anything. Satan is sly. But I trust that as we guard our heart from all these stony ground, thorny ground, wayside, and keep digging into this soil right here, allowing God to keep this fertile, this ground fertile in our hearts, that we can take our last breath and this church of Jesus Christ is still continuing bearing fruit. And God bless you all.